Well, good morning, church. Let me, very first off, ask you to turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy again this morning. We're continuing our sermon series on this book that Paul wrote to his friend, his mentoree, Timothy. And once again, it's a fairly serious topic this morning as Paul's writing his final words to his friend Timothy. He's not really wasting time with a lot of light things. He's making his words count. And I think the topic of our passage this morning is one that, again, probably hits home in many of our lives. Because Paul turns his attention from encouraging Timothy's ministry, you know, speaking directly to Timothy, you know, about hang in there in your ministry. He moves from there to talking about Timothy's life. And really how Timothy is living and how he's going to be continue living going forward. And what he's really doing is Paul's asking Timothy, just continue to grow. Timothy, grow in your faith, grow strong in the Lord, grow in grace. And I think that's a message, again, that all of us probably need to hear. Because we're all, you know, there's always going to be times in your life when your faith gets a little stagnant. Times when, you know, spiritually you can start feeling stuck. Times when you just aren't growing. I actually found a quote from a book called Living with Jesus Today that put it like this. It says, "We have a phenomenon in the church today which I call the eternal babyhood of believers. We have members of our church who after years of hearing messages are exactly the same. They continually need a minister to keep after them, to change their diapers, putting talcum powder on them, checking that their milk is not too hot. Sometimes we fool ourselves because we are growing numerically, and we think that's growth. But to grow in numbers alone is not necessarily spiritual growth. Even cemeteries grow numerically. But that's not a source of life." And I think Paul, looking at this passage, he would agree with those words. And this passage this morning is a call to remind us that growth is not to be ignored, that growing in grace is an essential part of our life in Christ. So let me read this passage for you this morning. We're going to start in verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you want to follow along with me. Again, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Let's pray. Lord, we just pray. Lord, we pray for your grace to be abundant among us this morning. That, Lord, you would work among us, not because of who we are or because we deserve it, but, Lord, simply because it is a work that you do in our lives through grace, because of your love for us, through our salvation and our sanctification. Lord, you call us to it. And you work it within us. So, Lord, we pray that, Lord, as we dig into your word, that it would find good soil in our hearts, allowing this truth to grow in us, and that we might truly grow strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus through our time together this morning. And, Lord, we just ask that you would just be present among us in a powerful way through your Holy Spirit. Today, in Jesus' name we ask, amen. Well, I'm going to begin with a story about my own life because One of the sort of the pivotal times in my life when I was a young man was a summer that I spent working full-time as a counselor at Camp Caroline. And that's actually a really tough gig. It's a lot of work, a lot of hours. But it's also the place where I learned, I think, the power of true Christian community as we prayed for one another and held each other up. It's where I met Kathy. It's also where I got my calling into ministry. So it's a very special memory for me. And it's also a place where, it changed my life. And one of the sort of the events from that summer that I sort of remember is it was a short week. So usually it was like a whole week of campers, but this was a short week for just the younger grades. I think at that time it was like a trial because these kids were like pretty young and they weren't sure how they would do. So these little kids around like ages 6 to 8 showed up. And I could tell you, as a guy in my 20s who is now put in charge of these little people, they seemed like the smallest, most vulnerable things humans ever. Like I had no idea what to do. But that first night, I remember, after they arrived, I was awakened in the dark by a noise. It was quiet tears. And I got up, and one of the cutest little humans ever, he had a little bowl cut, he was so cute. He was just quietly crying in his bed. He was like curled into this ball. And I asked him what's wrong, and he told me he had a pain in his legs. And of course, I was like, ah! And so I ran off, found the nurse. Slightly panicked. Thankfully, the nurse was still up. And after looking at him, she just let me know it's just growing pains. She gave him a cookie, put him back to bed. He was fine. But I never forgot that moment. And I never really forgot the lesson that sometimes growing is hard. Sometimes growing up hurts. And that actually goes for growing up in our faith as well. G.K. Chesterton once famously said, "Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and not tried." And that's, I think, the same lesson that Paul is reminding Timothy about in our passage. Because again, last week we learned that lesson. Ministry is hard. And Paul encouraged Timothy, hang on. Hang in there when it comes to serving the Lord and fulfilling your calling, Timothy. But now Paul moves on to talk to Timothy on a more relational level. Paul gets personal, speaking to Timothy about who he is as a person. With Paul even saying in that verse 1 of our passage, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus." This is spiritual advice that a father would give to his child, or a mentor to his pupil, or a teacher to his beloved student. It's advice about the need for us to keep growing in faith. Or as Paul talks about it, he calls it being strengthened by grace. Because you know what? Even though there are times, there's going to be tough times, hardships are going to come, and challenges are going to arise in our lives, there's still going to be opportunities to grow in faith. One commentary says this about the verse, saying God's number one priority is not to make you feel good, not through health or wealth or any other worldly means. More than anything else, God wants to make you like his son. His desire is not to make us comfortable, it's to help us grow up. And I've never heard anyone say that growing up is easy. Because you know what? That kind of growth, spiritual growth, it doesn't just happen on its own. You don't grow in faith by putting your faith in neutral. You don't become godly by accident. As Keith Green once said, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a hamburger. The true words. Spiritual growth needs to be something we're intentional about. And it's sad but often true that for a lot of Christians, their relationship with Jesus grows cold. There's many people in churches even today who, you know, at one point they prayed to give their lives to Jesus and they got excited about it. And for maybe a week or two, or maybe in a few months, or maybe even a few years, but then something changed. Maybe it was subtle at first. Maybe, you know, they missed a quiet time or two, and then four, and then more. Maybe they dropped out of a Bible study that they were in. Maybe they started sleeping in for church. But whatever happened in time, they began to notice that the relationship that they had with Christ that was once so vibrant and fresh and exciting was now probably better described as slow, stale, and lukewarm. And when that happens, your spirit, it feels like it's withering. And your life just lacks power, and you feel cut off from your relationship with Christ. In fact, a couple of decades after Paul writes these words to Timothy, the Apostle John writes words to this very same church that Timothy is pastoring in Ephesus. In Revelation 2, verse 4, John says, "But I have this against you." Well, it's Jesus quoting anyone. Jesus says, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first." And that's always the danger that we face if we stop growing. So how do we keep it from happening? How do we make maturity a priority in our lives? How do we grow strong in grace? Well, the first thing we do is embrace grace. And maybe this is almost so obvious we miss it, but the grace that Paul is talking about in this passage is only found in a relationship with Jesus. Paul even says in verse 1, it is in Christ Jesus. Because there's nowhere else you're going to find this grace you need to grow in. And that means growing in grace is something that is exclusive to those who believe. And that's why you can't skip this step. You can't go to step 2 without step 1. Grace begins with knowing and accepting the offer of salvation that is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because this is not self-help advice that Paul is giving here. This is not something you'll find in a psychology manual or you get from a secular counselor. It's not part of a 10-step program that you'll find on the shelf of your local bookstore. This is part of our salvation. So we need to be saved in order to begin this process. So we embrace grace. We accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we enter into that. And then from there, we are also empowered by grace. Because that same grace that leads us to salvation is also what leads us to our sanctification, our growth. And grace is the basis for the power of God to be at work in our lives. Ray Stedman writes, "The only way you can keep your inner life strong is by a relationship to the living God. That has been proven again and again in human history. If you can think you can stand against the forces of today's world by leaning on your friends, your family, your guru, your psychologist, or your counselor, you will find they will crumble when you need them the most. The only reliable source of strength in a day in which the world is falling apart is what Paul calls here the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Grace in Christ is the source of our strength, and it's the power for our growth. Because imagine an illustration. Imagine you're a light bulb, if that's not too much of a stretch. And you're sitting, you know, you're in your box waiting for your turn to be plugged in. And, you know, someone says glow. As a light bulb, you can't do it because you're not yet connected to a source of power. You know you need to be screwed into a light fixture for that to happen, because electricity is your power to glow if you're a light bulb. Well, the power to grow as a Christian is grace. And you need to be plugged in to Christ to take hold of it. In fact, Jesus is not a light bulb, but he used a similar image in the Gospel of John when he talked about the branch and the vine, saying that we need to be abiding in him, plugged into him by grace. And we need to be doing that daily, something that we do constantly. Oswald Chambers says, "God never gives strength for tomorrow or for the next hour, but only for the strain of the minute." That's why the word that Paul uses here for strengthened, it's in the present tense. Because it's not like a battery where you can store up this strength, you know, 2 weeks ago where you had a good week and you save it for later. No, grace, the power of God is available to you, but it's available for the moment that you're living in right now. And this is a bit of an aside here, but if you want to be doing that, if you want to be empowered in the present, if you want to be abiding in Christ, if you want to be strengthened by grace for today, I'll give you 3 quick sort of things you can do to do that in your life. First thing, you got to be reading your Bible. We've already talked about that. This is one of the reasons we keep encouraging people to read their Bibles this year, because it makes a difference. As believers, we need to be daily going to God's word for spiritual nourishment. We need to be self-motivated, self-feeding disciples, not spoon-fed baby Christians. As one pastor says, no other habit can do more to transform your life and make you more like Jesus than a daily reflection on the scriptures. Maturing Christians, growing Christians, abiding Christians are students of the word of God. And they're also people of prayer, daily prayer. Because prayer, again, is vital to our growth in Christ. It opens the flow of communication. It's a source of strength and comfort in good times and bad times. I love that quote of Martin Luther. I think I've said it before. Martin Luther once said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than being alive without breathing. It's the truth. He wasn't wrong. Because when it comes to prayer, the Bible tells us, it guides us, it refines us, it encourages us, it strengthens us, purifies us, shapes us, humbles us, and it connects us with God. That's why we take time in prayer daily. And I don't think those two things will come as a surprise. We tell you all the time, read your Bible, pray every day. We talk about those a lot. And we talk about them because they're so effective in our Christian walk. But I want to add one more thing I think will also help us to grow in faith. And that's, we need to attend church. And I always, you know, it feels self-serving coming from a pastor. Of course, I want people in church on Sunday mornings. But church is really such an important part of our growth as Christians. You know, it's in the church where we hear the word of God preached. It's in the church where we get encouragement from one another. It's in the church that we find fellowship. It's in the church that we gain accountability. It's in the church where we can, you know, stand with others and just grow together. The book of Hebrews says it well in chapter 10, verse 25. Do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another on all the more as you see the day approaching. Make church a part of your regular habit if you really want to grow and abide in Christ. And I would add there that I would encourage you to do that in person. You know, I know we have online church now, and it's a wonderful tool for so many people who can't make it out on Sundays. So I have a sick wife at home right now, and she's going to be joining us. Hey, babe. But you know what? Church is, it's so much richer, so much better, so much more of what church was meant to be if you're able to come and do it in person. And I'm not going to say much more than that, but I would just encourage you to do that as often as you are able. So read your Bibles, spend time in prayer, and be committed to going to church. Those are three things that will help you abide and plug you into the power that's available to you in Christ. But here's another thing you can do as our passage continues. And this one may come as a bit of a surprise for some people. Found in verse 2. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And Paul's really telling Timothy here, you know what, to grow in grace, you should be teaching and telling other people about Jesus. And I'll tell you why. There's a great illustration by Richard Dehan. It tells a story of a college student who was having difficulties with the studies. So he finally decided, I'm going to go talk to my professor. He said to the professor, like, I'm studying so hard, I'm doing my best, but I just can't retain what I read or try to memorize. Do you think I should hire a tutor? And the professor, clearly understanding the young man's problem, replied, no, I don't recommend that at all, because you don't need a teacher. You need a pupil. Because the professor knew that learning is enhanced when we share our knowledge with others. And Richard Dehan goes on to say this. He says, the professor's advice reminds me of believers who know many Bible facts but still have a poor understanding of scriptural truths. They attend church every Sunday, listen faithfully to religious broadcasts, enroll in Bible correspondence courses, and study the scriptures personally, and yet they seem to lack a working knowledge of the Bible. He asks, what's the problem? He says, they never do anything with the information. They don't need to be taught more. They need to start telling others what they've learned. Because as they put it into practice, they will begin to more fully grasp what they teach. When you teach, you grow. And you know what? This is how churches grow as well. You know, Paul's words here are a pretty good definition of what Christian discipleship looks like. It's believers passing on their faith to others, the next generation. Because you know what? When you think about it, chances are you came to faith when someone in your life shared with you the good news of Jesus Christ. And there's a good chance that that person who shared it with you heard it from someone who shared it with them. And the person that shared it with them heard it from someone before them. And the person that shared it before them heard it from someone before them. And that's an unbroken chain that goes all the way back to Jesus Christ himself. And this step, I think, is much more important than many people understand. I know even as a young man, my faith really grew when I took the chance to start, you know, leading the worship team and teaching Bible studies and being a counselor at camp, when I had to put my faith into practice in so many ways. So let me give you this advice. And the advice is this: every person here, everyone who's listening to me, you need to make sure you have three different people in your life. First person you need in your life is someone you think of as a teacher or a mentor, someone that you look up to who then comes beside you and helps you to grow, offers you spiritual maturity and teaching. And for Timothy, that was someone like Paul in his life. You need a mentor. But you also need a peer. This is the second person you need in your life, someone who's really in a similar stage as you know, of growth as you, someone who, you know, you can stand and work beside, someone to encourage you, someone who understands sort of the things that you're going through. For Timothy, that would have been someone like maybe Titus, who's another one of, you know, the students of Paul. You need a peer. But finally, the third person you all of us need in our lives is a pupil, a student. We need someone that we, you know, looks up to us as a teacher. Someone that we are intentionally saying, I am helping this person grow in their faith. And again, the word there that matters is intentional. Because you have to choose to do this. It doesn't just happen if you leave it. You should know who you are actively investing your life into. In fact, let's just pause and ask ourselves that very question. Ask yourself, who am I investing my life into spiritually at this point? Who am I being intentional about coming alongside them and saying, I want to help you grow? Because if you don't have an answer to that question, you need to find one. Be teaching others. That's part of living your life on the growing edge. Which then leads us to the next lesson that Paul gives to Timothy about growth. And that's really that this growth, it's going to require perseverance. Because again, it's not always easy. And Paul gives Timothy this lesson with three illustrations, really, about commitment and persevering. Now we're told in verse 3, share in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules, and it's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. So Paul gives Timothy three pictures of the Christian life, each with a similar lesson to be learned about growing strong in grace. The first picture is that of a soldier, and the lesson is one of distractions. Verse 4, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Now, Paul, he had a lot of experience with Roman soldiers. In fact, in jail, he was often chained to one 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And Paul knew the soldier life, it was not easy. Being a soldier meant many miserable days and nights. You slept in tents, you had cold meals, no showers, disease, dysentery, danger, death. And yet the soldier had a job to do. And Paul says he can't be distracted from that purpose. In fact, there's even a Roman law called the Code of Theodius that Paul seems to be referencing here. And the code says, we forbid men engaged on military service to engage in civilian occupations. Because a soldier needs to be a soldier first. He can't afford to be distracted. Not by local politics or the local sports team or the latest TV shows or the stock market or anything else. The lesson of the soldier is Don't be distracted by other things in life or by anything that's going to take you off course. A soldier needs to be a soldier. A Christian needs to be a Christian. Then next, there's the athlete, which is really a lesson on dedication. And verse 5, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And I actually love the rather snarky comments of J. Vernon McGee regarding many Christian athletes when he says, the only exercise some Christians get is jumping to conclusions, running down their friends, sidestepping responsibility, and pushing their luck, which is not the kind of athletes we're looking for in this passage. Because in Paul's day, you know, in order to compete in the games, the Olympic Games, or they had other games, the Isthmus Games, each athlete, before they could even compete, had to swear an oath. And that oath was that they had trained for a minimum of 10 months' time to be ready to compete. And failure to train was grounds for disqualification, because it was part of the discipline that athletes needed in order to win. Because if an athlete showed up unprepared, they were just going to waste everybody else's time. So Paul's advice to Timothy as an athlete is be dedicated. And then the final illustration in these verses that Paul gives is that of a farmer. Verse 6, saying it's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Now, I loved to garden when I had one, but I don't think I could be a farmer. Farming is sometimes sun up to sundown, toiling. Chuck Swindoll says it's fertilizing, plowing, planting, weeding, protecting, harvesting, storing, transporting, selling. And let's not forget the pest, disease, frost, drought that can ruin entire seasons of work. Life of a farmer is hard, not unlike that of a believer at times. But the lesson here is just be diligent, because in time you will see the fruit of your labor. The farmer will see his crops, the Christian will see some growth. So three lessons from three illustrations that give Timothy a pretty good advice on this road to faith, which is don't be distracted, be dedicated, be disciplined, and also be diligent. Those are all, again, images of commitment and perseverance. Which now leads us to our final lesson on growing in grace this morning, when Paul really is bringing Timothy back, right back to the person of Jesus. Verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul actually mentions two things in this passage. First, he's talking about truth. It's one of the themes of this entire book of 2 Timothy, the truth about Jesus, the truth about the gospel. And Timothy has to hold on to that truth. And we're actually going to touch on that more next week. So we're going to spend the rest of our time focusing on the other thing that Paul really writes about here. And that's he's writing about the person of Jesus himself. Because I think this is Paul's reminder to all of us, just to once again, just if you want to grow, you've got to fix your eyes and your heart on Jesus. And you have to make him the main thing. Because there's always dangers. You know, there's in passages like these, there's always, especially if you're a pastor and you're preaching this stuff, that you could send the wrong message to people. That when you say you've got to grow in your faith, that the message is you need to do more. That this growth is all about you and how much you are able to give and how much you can do and how faithful you can be. And to be fair, as Christians, we do need to get involved. There's responsibilities on our part, and we need to be committed to these things. But the real message is that ultimately we need to remember that our spiritual growth in our life is a work of Jesus Christ himself, and that it is a gift of grace. And that there's no such thing as a self-made Christian. It's a reminder that it is God who transforms us, and it's God who renews us, and it is God who empowers us on this journey of faith. And it's a reminder that, again, Timothy, it's all about Jesus. Remember Jesus Christ. Because you know what? Even when it comes to our own personal spiritual growth, Jesus is the hero of the story. And to understand anything less than that would be guilty of preaching a man-centered gospel, man-centered living, man-centered preaching. So maybe let me put it like this. Growing in grace is not about asking ourselves, what can I accomplish, or how hard do I have to work, or what's in it for me? Growing in grace is about saying, how much can I surrender my life to Christ? And that's really the message I want to hear you to hear as we close this morning, and every morning. In fact, I actually love the advice of Charles Spurgeon that he gave to young preachers under his charge, when he said to them, every sermon is a sermon about Christ. That no matter what you preach on, if you don't bring people to the feet of Christ, you have not preached. And that's what I want to be doing here. Bringing you to Jesus to experience his grace. Because he's the one who came to take away our sins. And we were helpless. He came to save us. We were lost. He came to find us. We were sick. He came to heal us. We were dead in our sins and our trespasses. And he came to offer us life. Where we fell short, he made up the difference. Because God said Jesus, his only begotten Son, the sinless one, to die on the cross in our place. And it's not because we were better than the next person. It's not because we were special in any way. It's not because we were more talented or more accomplished than the next person. We received it all because we've been shown grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. I always loved the little illustration that someone said, when we get to heaven, there'll be no contest to see who is the most deserving of God's grace, because nobody deserves it. There'll only be one contest in heaven, because when we look back and see what we were before, when we see the pit of sin from which God rescued us, the only contest will be to see which of us can sing the loudest, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And that's grace. And that's the truth that Paul calls us to continue to grow in. It's the key to our hope. It's the true source of our strength. Because it's not about us doing more. It's about having more of Jesus. To grow in grace is to make Jesus our everything. So let me just close with these words that are a good reminder of all that Jesus is to us. It's from a poem by Annie Johnson Flint titled, He Giveth More Grace. And you'll probably, some of you will recognize them. It says, He gives more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sends more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's forgiving has only begun. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power no boundary known unto men. For out of his riches, out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. This morning, as we've listened to Paul's words, may we be strengthened together by the grace that is ours in Christ Jesus. And may we embrace it and be empowered by it and just live in it and take a stand on it and hope in it and celebrate it. And may we grow in that grace every single day of our lives. Let's pray. Father God, as we looked at this passage and even as we reflect upon all that Jesus Christ is to us, we recognize what amazing love you have shown to us. And what amazing grace has been offered to us, and what an amazing sacrifice it took by you on the cross to make us your own. And I pray, Lord, that as we experiencing that salvation, that we would never lose our love for you, that our love would never grow cold, that we would never stop living in the grace that is available to us in Christ Jesus. Because may that grace that is ours, may it just draw us continually more and more and more to our Father God's heart. May that grace strengthen us and empower us, and may we just continue to grow in it day by day by day, knowing from whom we have received it, the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we live our lives, Lord, with our eyes fixed on Jesus. May we live with our hearts surrendered to him. May we live with the truth of Jesus always before us as a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And may we endure in it, even in times of hardship. Like a soldier and an athlete and a farmer, we pray that, Lord, we would be dedicated and devoted and diligent in the way that we are living and the way that we are pursuing Christ. Knowing that, Lord, we will see the fruit of your work in our lives as we seek to grow in faith. And that we might even share that truth with the other people around us. And our prayer, Lord, this morning is just truly that Lord, we would understand the depth of the grace that has been given to us in Christ Jesus, and that we would grow strong in that grace each and every day of our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mark.